Grace and mercy and peace be to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So here at Concordia, we're starting a sermon series called What's in a Name? That popular phrase and identity and thought. So actually, as a precursor to this, we released on our social media on Facebook a post, and it had people describe and go back and forth a little bit, and the question was something like this. Is there a special reason why you have a name? Or is there a special reason why you named your child a certain way? And there was a whole bunch of cute ones on there. Go online and look at some of them or answer yourself. There was terms of affection. There was the, I like the alliteration, right? Joel and Jeremiah and Jesse and Jonah and Josiah, and they go down like that. For me personally, here's why I named my child the way I did. I have a boy. He's 3, all boy, loves dinosaurs. And I named him Isaiah. I thought it was a beautiful expression that would carry him long into the future. Why? Because the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, I believe, is the 5th gospel, dripping constantly with the promises of God. And I thought it'd be a cool thing in the days to come, unique in identifying him as a child of God. In that year, Isaiah was the 9th most popular boy name in my wife's chagrin. So, not a problem, we say. The second time we have a child, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to name it a Bible name. We're going to name her a biblical concept to remind her of her identity as a child of God, and we name her Gloria. Unique and oldie, but a goodie. No one's going to have Gloria, right, in St. Louis? My wife, as the Blues won the Stanley Cup, turned and looked and said, "We need to move." I said, no, that escalated quickly. We're not doing that. We're going to rejoice that other people will have our daughter's name. What's in a name? It matters to people. It matters what you're called because our reader for today. It's Mel Spall. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? They forgot your name. They flubbed on it in front of you. Names matter to us. They're important for humans, and my friends in Jesus, we know they're important to God. We believe as Christians, God comes and he places his holy name upon us. There's only one time in Scripture, one time where the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three persons are placed upon a person in the Bible. When is that? In our baptisms. Jesus says in the last chapter of Matthew, go and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he places a special name upon us, far greater than any human name, any name of endearment, the name of my son or the name of my daughter. God's name is of utmost and ultimate importance. Names are important to God, and they're important to us. We see this, I think, clearly in our Bible lesson for today. But let me set the stage for you, if I can. Our story for today comes from the Old Testament, from Exodus chapter 3. And here in this place and time, we encounter this man named Moses. And if you didn't know, Moses was pretty substantial. He was a mighty leader in the Old Testament. And God's people at that time, they were actually slaves in the country of Egypt. And Moses, he should have been a slave, but he was adopted by the ruling class, the slave owners. And Moses should have been a slave, but he wouldn't. But he wasn't. He had a life of privilege and honor. And here's how our story for today is set up. One day, Moses, who is in a place of privilege and honor, and most likely himself even owns slaves, is out walking around one day. And he himself sees a slave owner mistreating one of the Israelites, God's chosen people. So Moses has no part of this. He goes up and says, you need to stop this right now. Words become heated and things escalate. Moses and this slave owner get into a fight, and Moses actually kills this Egyptian man in the heat of the moment. And he takes the body and he tries to bury it and hide it from everyone. And he thinks he made out good, as the scriptures tell us. But lo and behold, the next day, Moses is out walking, and what happens? The Israelites see him, those slaves, and they say, Moses, why are you back here? We know what you did. Have you come to do that to us as well? Moses knows his sin is found out. The slaves know what he did, and they want no part of him. And he knows he broke the law, and he's afraid of what the Egyptians are going to do to him. So Moses does the unthinkable. He packs up his entire life, and he runs away from his home country, and he goes out into the wilderness. And there for 40 years, he has change, and he starts over. God gives him a wife. He has a great father-in-law, gets a new job, and he raises up a bundle of kids. And Moses has change. He puts the past behind him. The name that Moses, you're a killer. The name that Moses, you're a liar. The name that Moses, you are worthless to me. Moses flees from that and has change in his life. And my friends in Jesus, sometimes we need change too. Sometimes there are times in our life where we need to change and we need to be changed. We live in a culture where this is actually pretty easy, right? If I'm on my phone late at night after a long day, I can change if I don't like something on my phone pretty easy. I just swipe left or right or up or down on my Facebook feed. I can get changed by having delicious food, my nachos at 10 o'clock, almost regularly at night, my nachos with my Sargento cheese on it. You put it on for a minute and 25, and it goes from nothing to something beautiful in a moment. Maybe on Monday nights, you're like my wife, and you want change. And you're watching Dancing with the Stars, and you see all these people. You see Sean Spicer. You just get so encouraged and fed up and enamored in the show. You can take your remote control and go click, 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 and things are changed before you in a moment. And sometimes we need that change in our own lives. So this is the part where I ask you to self-reflect for a moment. Friends in Jesus, where do you need to change? Maybe you need to change your spending habits. Maybe you need to change your identity and your focus on studying God's word anew again. Maybe you need to just put your hands on the steering wheel and just take a hard left and veer off into a different relationship. Maybe it's some toxic relationship at work, a toxic romantic relationship, a toxic family relationship that God is calling you to reflect, to remove yourself from, to honor him. The point is, my friends, we need change, just like Moses. And in any season of life, God doesn't leave us alone. Because in our story for tonight, Moses does something incredible. He changes and he talks with God. So Moses, after he has been in exile in this foreign land, he is out tending the sheep in his new job, living his best life, doing good things. And as he is out there, Moses sees a bush ignite in an inferno in front of him. And the voice of God speaks to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was out walking the dog or in my neighborhood, in my bush caught on fire, and a voice starts speaking to me, I would run. But Moses doesn't do that. He stands and he talks with God. And God's got a special message for him and says, Moses, I know you ran away, but I need you to go back. You've been appointed for a special purpose, to raise up and lead my people out of Egypt. No more slavery, no more bondage, to be free and holy before my name. And Moses, he backs off at first. The scriptures actually report to us, he gives four different excuses. He says, God, there's got to be somebody else. God, I'm not a good speaker. God, they're not going to listen to me. God, I don't even know who is sending before me. But God says, I am who I am. And I will send you, and you will be my chosen people. This fire of God speaks. And this fire of God is important in the scriptures. The fire of God speaks, and tonight does amazing things. It speaks in the Old Testament as in those Old Testament stories we hear of prophets who call from heaven to God, and God sends down fire and consumes sacrifices. We know the fire of God appears on people's heads at Pentecost as they are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And we know in John chapter 3, he says, I will baptize you with fire in the Holy Spirit. The fire of God matters. And God convinces Moses and sends him to a change. And Moses says, here I am, send me. My friends in Jesus, we need a change as well. I don't know the deep, dark secrets that you're dealing with, the demons that plague you, the problems in your life, but I know we have a God who is bigger than all of it. A God whose name is placed on you, and it matters. Think about this for me with a moment as my closing thought, if I can. God's name is holy. And as we said at the beginning, there is only one place in the scriptures where God places his name upon us, scripturally speaking. In our baptisms, God says he places the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit upon us. And that's not an insignificant fact. I mean, think about it with me. God doesn't say, I'm going to place my holy and sacred name upon you when you pray before me. God doesn't say, when you're doing works for other people and before me, I'm going to place my name upon you. God doesn't even say, when we come up and receive communion, you receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God reserves this one sacred, intimate act for our baptisms, and that is not an insignificant fact in the scriptures. And my friends in Jesus, for those of you who have been baptized into him, the name has been placed upon you. God's good name, a name of forgiveness, a name of love, a name that is irrevocable and can never be taken away from you. So the times in your life where you might need to change your financial habits, change your conversations, where you are struggling with a personal deep dark sin, we have a name that is greater, a name that has been placed upon you. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, one that washes, renews, brings from life to death, a name that is greater than any other name. In the weeks to come, we're going to continue to think about these names. Next week, Pastor Meggers is going to lead us in a thought about a particular name and how that name matters. Come back for more as we talk about these names that not only matter to us as humans, but ultimately, they matter to God, who cares and calls you by your name. May our Jesus always keep us mindful of this. We pray in his grace and mercy and peace forevermore. Amen.